The Old Testament reading for this fourth Sunday in Advent from Micah. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle from Hebrews chapter 10. When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and in sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book.' When he said above, 'You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings,' these are offered according to the law. Then he added, 'Behold, I have come to do your will.' He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And then Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you, peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We just heard the reading of Luke chapter 1, which is the series that we are in as far as the church year goes. However, it focuses on Mary, and I wanted to focus on Joseph this morning. And so I'm using the passage from Matthew chapter 1 for our scripture text this morning. The phrase we used to hear and see a lot at this time of the year was, "Jesus is the reason for the season." Well, that's not so much anymore in 2021. Today, we have been leaving Christ out of Christmas regularly and have holiday trees and holiday cards and holiday happies and all this kind of stuff, but very few Merry Christmases. In preparation for that first Christmas, it was very similar to that as well, that Jesus was often not thought of as the people moved into this time of the year, because they had heard the prophecies so many times and had not taken place. So today, we often want to rush to the end of the story where everything turns out okay, but in that process, what do we miss out on? We miss the anxiety of Mary when she had to face the announcement, "I'm pregnant." This announcement caused her to rush off to visit her cousin Elizabeth, while Joseph was left with a heavy decision on his heart and mind. What does he do about his engagement to Mary? And we are tempted to think that Joseph was a slow learner spiritually, because they had to have heard the prophecies But as you recall, there had been 400 years where God had not sent a prophet or spoken to his people. If we skip over the anxiety of the moments, we miss the point of what we are to learn by walking with Joseph into this time. So Matthew 1:18 begins, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly." Scripture tells us that Joseph was a righteous man. This meant that Joseph was known by the community as an uncompromising, obedient to the Torah, the law of Moses. Joseph didn't eat unclean food. He didn't hang around with the wrong crowds. He didn't even keep his carpentry shop open on the Sabbath for a few extra drachma. Everybody knew what kind of a man Joseph was. He was what people wanted to be. Like a dedicated businessman who applies himself to his job, hoping in sometime in the future he'd become CEO of the company, or like an athlete, say Steph Curry, for example, who abandons everything to work on his trade of being an all-star. This is what everyone wanted to be who was an Israelite. They wanted to be known of, like Joseph, as a righteous man. But now his righteousness was a problem. The girl he was engaged to was pregnant. And Joseph knows he's not the father. And soon, in this small town of Nazareth, everyone else would know as well. Now, the Torah made clear instructions about what he should do to Mary. In Deuteronomy 22, we read, "If a woman pledged to be married is unfaithful, it says she shall be brought to the door of her father's house, and there the man of her town shall stone her to death. She has done a disgraceful thing in Israel by being promiscuous while still in her father's house. You must purge this evil from among you." But Joseph couldn't bring himself to do this. Joseph must have agonized, lost sleep, worrying over this. By the time the angel came to Joseph with this announcement, Joseph had already known that Mary was pregnant. He had already been struggling with this problem, having his sleepless nights. Can you imagine how Mary came to Joseph? She said, "I have some bad news and some good news. The bad news is I'm pregnant. The good news is I have not been with any other man. An angel came to me and said, 'Hail Mary, full of grace, you are going to have a miracle baby, and all generations will call you blessed.' I know it's never happened before, but it's going to happen." Imagine Joseph's struggle. Most likely his father had arranged this marriage with Mary, but now an angel, a virgin birth, no way. So he decided to divorce her quietly. You see, engagement was a legal act in that day, and it required the act of divorce to dissolve it. This is the least that a righteous man had to do. But then God intervenes. After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So why couldn't this angel have come to Joseph ahead of time and remove his anxiety and worry? Explain everything to him. Is it possible that God wanted Joseph to go through this anxious time? Do you think that God ever wants you and me to face some anxiety in our lives as well? Maybe God wanted Joseph to learn a new understanding of what it means to be righteous. Is it possible God wanted Moses to struggle with this problem first on his own before he knew the real reason he was facing it? And is it possible that there are times when God wants you and me to struggle with a problem, to lose sleep over it, to be confused by it, disoriented, uncertain, or something? Maybe it's not because you've done something wrong. Maybe God just wants to teach us to learn to wait on God, to trust in God above all things, and knowing that it would be okay eventually, even if we are confused. Listen to what the angel said. "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife." Why would Joseph be afraid to marry Mary? Well, he would first of all be violating the Torah, but there's more. Joseph would be afraid that he would lose his reputation in this town, that he was a righteous man. He had worked so hard at being a righteous man. He was afraid that everybody would think differently about him. People would talk behind his back that he had married an adulterous woman. There's no way people in this small town were going to believe his story. In fact, he didn't believe the story himself. God caused this virgin teenage girl to become pregnant, a likely story. He knew that if he married her, friends would never accept his account of what happened. He possibly would not be invited to their homes or even be given their business, and he would never again be admired and respected as a righteous man. If he accepted Mary's story, his entire reputation was on the line. The reputation he had worked for all his life, it would all be trashed. Since that time, millions of people have made sacrifices for the sake of this one named Jesus. Down through the ages, many people have given up status, possessions, convenience, freedom, even their lives to claim Jesus as the only true God. And now Joseph was told by an angel in a dream to give up his identity, his reputation for Jesus. He was told by God to step out in faith because Joseph had not yet even seen Jesus. When Joseph looked into the eyes of his surrounding people and obeyed God, they would never see him the same way again. They would never respect him or adore him as they had. But soon, as he would look into this newborn infant's face, he would realize that he had done the right thing. Later, after Joseph had died and Jesus begun his ministry, he would teach in the Sermon on the Mount, especially chapter 5, verse 20, "Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law," that was what Joseph was living under before Christ was born, "you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus must have been thinking, "I've seen a better kind of righteousness firsthand. It was in the eyes of my earthly father, Joseph. He was such a man." Maybe God had a reason for this odd, painful, lonely way to start his family. Maybe God still calls people to be willing to die to their reputations and status and comfort for the sake of following Jesus. When Jesus made the decision to wed Mary anyway, he thought it was the end of being known of as a righteous man. He did not know fully that the child he would adopt would bring to the human race a new kind of righteousness, that Jesus came to pay for the sin of the entire world. Because of Jesus, there would be no barrier between us and our God. That you and I will have life, eternal life, in his name. What three names do we know of Jesus being called? He was called Jesus, Christ, Emmanuel. Jesus, because he would save us. Christ, he was the anointed, long-awaited Messiah to come into the world. And Emmanuel, God with us. That's what we celebrate this Christmas. And as it turned out, Joseph's anxiety was turned to joy, everlasting. Amen.